Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ken and I have made some Jewish friends since we retired here to Columbia, and we have shared many things. And one of them is that they are doing a very special Passover this year. In fact, this couple that we know so well, good friends, are hosting 14 people for this event in their home. They've gone back to their home to celebrate this with their closest family and friends. And what a wonderful thing that must be. So tonight, we Christians are gathered here on this Maundy Thursday to begin a three-day scenario which will be very meaningful to us because we too are celebrating the Passover. Something that happened a long time ago when Moses led the people out of Egypt. And he told them to do this simple meal, bread and wine, unleavened. It was not to be a fancy meal, but just a meal that would be remembered for many, many years. In fact, isn't it amazing? Over 2,000 years now, Christians have gathered, and Jewish people, have gathered to observe this night. Did you catch that in the gospel lesson where Jesus said, I was really eager to celebrate this meal with you? Why? Because he knew why and what would happen as a result of this meal was recorded in this upper room, that it would be something that would transform the lives of many people, and that he would be giving a gift to us that we would be eating and drinking eternally. That it would sustain us in our journey. That it would help us remember him who humbled himself, getting down on his knees and washing the feet of the disciples. Oh Lord, don't do that. Let us wash your feet. No, he said, this is fitting that I do so. One of the most interesting experiences I've had in my years of ministry and being a pastor was we joined in with a Catholic church and members of that church to go into the prison. And we did what was called a REC, that's Residence Encounter Christ. And part of that weekend stay, they didn't lock us up at night, they let us out. Part of that weekend stay was that we would wash the feet of those prisoners. And they were amazed. They were amazed that we would do such a thing. And then several of them would say, and it was almost inevitable, let us wash your feet too. It was a very touching experience for me to do that. And now we see that the new Pope is in need of inmates, and we think, oh good, that a leader of such millions of Christians would have that kind of humility is a good inspiration. Well, back to the meal. We know that one left early, and we know what was to later happen in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I often remember that when I talk to patients at the hospital, Jesus praying fervently in the garden. And it is recorded that he sweat as though it were great drops of blood. He knew what was going to happen. He was fully aware of the pain and the suffering that he was about to endure on the cross. I've said to patients, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be afraid of what's going to happen in the future for you. Our Lord knows that kind of concern and anxiety and worry. He too did not look forward to what he had to endure. And I think that sometimes I've encountered that patients think, well, I should just be real brave and afraid. But I think that it's okay. Because we know that in life we do face things that make us very anxious, very afraid of what's going to happen to us, or what's going to happen to a member of our family, or someone we love dearly, that they're going through a very difficult time. It's okay to be afraid. Because we know that Jesus said later, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For in my Father's house, and I go to prepare a place for you." Of course, he was anticipating the glory that was to come after this, but in dreading what was to happen, he identified with us too. He knows. Maybe he knows about the times we've laid awake at night and felt so humbled and felt so sad that we would have let ourselves do such a thing. The unkindness that maybe we showed to somebody. The times when we've hurt people intentionally. I saw a sticker recently on the back of a car as I was driving between hospitals, and it said, "I love you, Christ, but I don't understand you Christians at times." What a witness. We who profess to know Jesus so intimately and clearly have found ourselves being a hindrance by our judgmental attitudes at times, by our condemnation of other people, by a lack of love that we know. And then we call ourselves to remembrance, as we did this evening, as we said to the Lord, "O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner." But what's this meal all about, really? What's the bottom line? Do this in remembrance of me. Remember the price. Remember that all of the sins of this world were laid upon him, the sinless Lamb of God, who knew sin, but for who us and for our sins laid down his life, made the supreme sacrifice, so that we no longer need to be totally undone by our sins and deeds, but we learn of him once again to be like Christ. And what a challenge that is for us, especially in this day and age. To be the kind of witness that God wants us to be is a very awesome task. You know, we use that word awesome a lot. I say it's awesome sometimes to learn of Christ. To find out that that spirit that he left at that table has given us the power and the strength to be transformed in our minds. To be able to live our lives according to him. Despite our times, we have failed many times. But we know that he has forgiven us. All we need to do is ask. And what a blessing this night is to us. Just think, over 2,000 years ago. And you know what has made it last? It has been the promise that your sins are forgiven. When we come and kneel at this table as we ought, we have been reassured that it has been paid for. All the times we've wept over our misconducts, all the times we have heaped guilt upon ourselves because we have failed God and people and family, all of that has been forgiven because of Christ's sacrifice. And so this table becomes very meaningful to us tonight. It renews us in our spirit. It renews us in the conviction that this death has made us free, and that when we die, we will be free. And how often we think about that, of us, all of us that are getting older, when we look at our life and see that 3/4 of it may well be gone, but we know that we have this assurance that we need not be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. And so we look to him, the shepherd, who ascended and now lives with us in our lives daily, and who has promised to not forsake us nor leave us. We too are like the disciples and say, "Lord, don't leave us." But he hasn't, because he is here, his very body and blood. So may God bless you this evening as each of us are given that assurance once again. Go in peace now. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.